This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:13 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezril. We're now talking about Malaysia's ceasefire initiative in the United Nations. This comes as Malaysia gained the support of 171 states in the UN for a statement of support to the UN Secretary General's appeal for a global ceasefire to all conflicts, which Secretary General Antonio Guterres says is meant to create conditions for COVID-19 efforts.
Right, and he added that the pandemic is having profound consequences on global peace and security. So tackling it will address other crises like unemployment, delays in elections, and political tensions, as well as prevent extremist groups from taking advantage of the situation.
So back to the statement, Wisma Putra said that it's meant to highlight the importance of shared solidarity and compassion to those affected by hostilities. And Malaysia took the initiative so that the global community can effectively fight COVID-19.
So I don't mean to be a party pooper. While I think it is very noble, I'm very disillusioned with the UN. I'm just not sure how necessary this is and how much of an impact it will have, because it's, as you said just now, it's just a statement of support. It's not even a resolution. There's no concrete actions, and it seems that, to an extent, I mean, it's common sense that conflict should be halted, and but then again, I mean, look at if you look at the countries, that's a lot of countries. That's 171 states. If you look at many of those countries, not all of them are exactly calling the ceasefire in their own countries.
I take your point, and I appreciate the pessimism that comes with that. And it is true, right? That there are countries that have perhaps supported this call. But then they kept on fighting regardless. Ukraine, for example. So I, however, think that this is still important to say. And I think it does highlight perhaps some of the extra challenges brought on with the mix of not only the pandemic, but as well as the hostility. So I think if, let's say, there are countries that have signed on to this, it does hold them accountable, saying that on the global stage, you have made this promise and you are expected to keep this promise, right? And given that now it is an extremely difficult time for those working in mediation for international peacekeepers to do their work, to try to set up architecture to set up architecture and infrastructure to allow and sustain a ceasefire. So maybe when they sign on to these deals, wild fighting and hostilities may not have stopped. What it might create is the opportunities for these mediators to be able to enter these regions once again, because travel at this point in time is impossible, to try and work towards situations and deals that might be agreeable to more than one party. So we're now going to cross over to Dato' Syed Mohamad Hasrin Tengku Hussein, Malaysian Permanent Representative to the United Nations. Before we get to that conversation, you can let us know, is world peace possible? At least for just a little bit. You can let us know, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Dato' Syed, thank you so much for joining us on the show all the way from New York.
Thank you for this opportunity. Assalamualaikum and selamat sejahtera. Good evening to you.
Welcome, salam, Dato'. It's been great to hear from you from my old stomping grounds.
So talk to us about this initiative, right? How did Malaysia come to lead this ceasefire initiative in the UN?
Well, as probably you're aware, and many out there are aware, the UN Secretary General made this call on the 23rd of March at the heights of the pandemic, calling for global ceasefire during COVID-19 to allow access to medical facilities, equipment, etc., humanitarian access, so that those in the frontliners could fight the pandemic. You see, the pandemic, the virus is very deadly, has high fatality rate. So this is call by the Secretary General for the international community in fighting this virus. And we took this initiative, noting that it is important for the UN membership to speak with one voice, with a strong political message, to reaffirm our collective support for an immediate cessation of hostilities in all corners of the world in fighting this deadly pandemic. At the same time, the statement also underscores the importance of multilateralism, the rule of law, diplomacy, as well as the pivotal role of women and youth efforts to build sustainable peace. And as you are probably aware, this year is the 75th anniversary of the UN, and the UN Charter was signed on 26 June, 75 years ago. So the timing is, I think, very good. It is timely that we received the support of 171 signatories of the UN membership. We hope it will provide a positive results, especially on the ground.
Right. And what would a global ceasefire entail, given that there are so many types of conflicts and some of them are extremely complex?
Yeah, very true. We're living in a very complex world. We hoped that as we face lockdown throughout the world, we hope also in the armed conflict area, there would be lockdown so that those that matters can focus themselves and to fight in saving lives for those that are affected by the virus. And the ceasefire would allow for humanitarian access to reach populations that are most vulnerable to the spread of COVID-19. It is a call to the warring parties to pull back from hostilities, put aside mistrust and their animosity, and silence the guns, stop the artillery and the airstrikes.
So what will this initiative involve? Will there be dialogues with countries in conflict, for example?
The UN system, the main responsibility for international peace and security is within the responsibility of the United Nations Security Council, there are 15 members there. So anything with peace and security, they will have the lead role on this. There have been discussion in the council to come up with draft resolutions, but they are still facing with some problems there. And we hope with this joint statement, the support of so many countries, many governments, as well as from the NGOs and international organizations, we hope that this will give a fresh impetus to the council members in their deliberations. Hopefully they will be able to come up with one strong resolution on this matter so that we could focus in fighting the pandemic.
Right, but would there be any specific conflicts that the council might focus on, and what might those discussions entail?
Well, to be fair, the council at this point of time, they have not been able to come up with one resolution on global ceasefire to fight COVID-19 in a specific resolution in, for example, in one area, say in Syria, or they have been talking about it and allowing working for humanitarian access to those conflict areas. But what we are hoping that the council could come up with one concrete resolution giving a stronger message and calling for the international community, especially the warring parties, to cease their animosity, to allow for the international community to fight the pandemic. So there has been also those resolution which is ongoing. Whenever the UN peacekeeping mission about to end the mandate, the council will come up with a new mandate to how to deal the conflict in those areas, and they will also be talking about how to allow humanitarian access to those affected areas. But it's not that easy. And we hope with this statement, which is the first time the larger membership has come up with one voice, would allow the council to reinvigorate their discussion, and we hope that that is our hope. And going beyond because the focus of the global ceasefire is on COVID-19, and we hope that going beyond, this would also give momentum to allow peace a chance, and hopefully in some areas peace will prevail.
It is an impressive amount of states that have signed on, about 171. But we are also seeing the US, China, and Russia, who are big powers in the world. They've objected to the UN's bid for a ceasefire about a month ago. Without their presence, is a ceasefire likely to happen?
Well, China is on board. But Russia and the US are not on board. Out of the 15 members of the council now, we received 13 supports from them. So two are not on board. Of course, they are big players, but we hope from what we gather, they have been saying that they're supporting global ceasefire individually, but unfortunately, they do not join us with this joint statement. But we will continue to push for it, and I think the momentum is gaining because of this joint statement. There seems to be a lot of interest, a renewed interest. There's been conversation out there. Not only within member states, but also the NGOs and international organizations. And we hope this would give a chance, better chance for us to end hostilities in, if not all, in some areas, so that we can fight this deadly global pandemic effectively.
Right. And are you hopeful that we'll see an outcome of a global ceasefire, given that many conflicts are convoluted and have lasted a very long time?
There is our hope. There is our desire. We realize that there are a lot of intricacies, sensitivities, complex issues in armed conflict areas throughout the world. But we should not let that stop us from continue our discussion and conversation so that we could allow for those especially affected people better livelihood, peace, so that they can work on other matters to address their basic needs. So, yes, we are very hopeful, and we hope that this would give new momentum to the discussion and deliberations, especially in the City Council. We know that the Secretary General is very appreciative of this effort, and it has given new breath of positivity. And I think that is what is matters. What matters in multilateralism, we have to be optimistic and try to work for the best.
And finally, what does it mean for us, you know, that we were the ones who led this initiative?
As you know, we are a small country out there, and we are very committed to international cooperation, global solidarity. That's why we joined the United Nations very early, and we believe in peace, sustainable development, and rule of law. So it is an important thing for us to do. And we hope with the small thing that we are doing to get 171 signatories on board, that would give positive results. And I think we should also appreciate with us, there are also 9 other co-initiators. They have also worked very hard in getting the support of so many member states and also observer states. From what we see after we release the joint statement with all the list of signatories, there has been very good positive feedback, encouragement from not only member states, but also the NGOs, especially those that are working on the ground. And we hope that this statement is being heard and read out globally, so that it will give a positive result to end some of the hostilities in some of the areas. Well, that is our hope, and that's why I think Malaysia was involved in this initiative. And we received very strong cooperation, good cooperation from many member states at the UN.
Oh, Malaysia boleh, right?
Terima kasih, ya, Malaysia boleh.
Dato' Sahid, thank you again for speaking with us today.
You're welcome. And thank you for this opportunity. I would also would like to express my appreciation to all the Malaysian people, the Malaysian government, especially the frontliners there in fighting the COVID-19 in Malaysia. I think we have done well. Thank God that we are a peaceful country. So you see how the difficulty, how the many difficulties that we face, although we are peaceful in fighting this global pandemic. Just imagine for those people that are affected in armed conflict area. It's very difficult, and hopefully our initiative will help to provide better results for them, so that they could also benefit from all the medical access in fighting the pandemic.
We can only hope for the best. That was Dato' Sahid Muhammad Hasrin Tengku Hussein, a Malaysian permanent representative to the United Nations. We have the 7:30 news coming up. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.